Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
You gotta come with it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Hope you got to fix your headphones there, JQ. Yeah.
Yes, sir, I'm good.
Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man again on this Sunday, August the 12th. Again, shout out to everyone. A lot of love. Happy anniversary, Wifey. Happy birthday, JQ. A lot of love, man. That's what we do. Talking Sports, as always. Again, got to check in with my fellas leading off, like Ricky Henderson. JQ, what's going on, bro? How you doing this evening, man?
Hey, man. Dude, listen, I'm start talking to the third person like Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson don't show all the best these Yeah, listen, man. I love Ricky Henderson. That third person talk, that's hilarious. Yeah, I appreciate y'all for sure for all the birthday love. I had a great time yesterday, and I'm ready to make it happen, man. And happy anniversary to you and Marcy. So
yep.
I hope y'all had a good one. Let's do it.
We appreciate you. And of course, Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, bro? You batting clean up.
Doing great, man. Yeah, glad you guys were able to enjoy you guys' celebrations. Happy birthday, JQ. Happy anniversary, Andre. Y'all were playing that Tony song?
That's right, man. Do you know what today is? Yeah. That's a classic, man. That's right, man. That was definitely a great, great song, man. Great jam. They don't make music like that anymore, man. That's just good stuff, man. But, again, without further ado,
And JQ was playing that Stevie Wonder song?
Yeah. A little happy birthday.
Yeah, it was a whole lot. It was a good time. Yeah, man. Happy birthday to you. Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
I was all in yesterday. I had a good time. I appreciate y'all.
That's what's up. And you know what's crazy about the happy birthday? Actually, that song is trademarked, so you really can't sing that anymore, which is crazy. So just a little FY.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually trademarked. So if you ever notice restaurants, they actually don't sing the actual happy birthday. They sing a version of it because it's pretty much trademark, man. So there you go. A little trivia for you guys. So, yeah.
Hey, wow.
But, yeah. It's all good. But, hey, gentlemen, I know let's get
still
this part
the version
started.
I
think a lot of people. Hey, it's still a good version. I'm saying, like, typically it's just something to think about in the future. It doesn't stop us, but somebody actually wrote that song, and they're actually requesting stuff, as far as getting copyrighted being sung in public. So it's crazy now. But, anyway,
that's
I digress.
Insane.
Let's get this party started. We got a lot of things to discuss, as we always do on this Sunday. We want to throw out the numbers that you want to reach out to your boys. Show us some love. 424-243-9519 is the number. We always like to show you guys love. Follow us on the Twitter, as they say, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook, too. We are facebook.com/12thmansports or Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Either way, we'll get to our page and show us some love, too. Let's kick this off.
If you're
off
a middle child out there, today is National Middle Child Day. So happy National Middle Child Day for those of you all out there.
Are you middle child, Rob? Are you middle child, Rob?
Man, there's a national such and such for everything now. They got National Fart Day, National Ice Cream Day.
We don't want to celebrate National Fart Day, man. We don't want to celebrate that day, man. I'm just saying. But anyway,
yeah.
All good.
National Donut Day. National Middle Child Day.
Yeah. You didn't ask the question, Rob. Are you a middle child or no?
No.
Okay. That was clear, question. I don't know why that was brought up to you, so somebody had to make some light about that, too. But all right. Middle child, so love, too. Here we go. Let's talk some sports here. Let's talk about the teams that are 6-10 in the college football preseason top 25 here. And I guess, you know, we got it started last week. We were right on the cusp of football. You know, obviously we had some NFL games. We're going to talk about that a little later too. But let's talk about our college football, the 6-10. Rob Ford, kick it off with that, sir. Let's get this party started.
Well, let's start with Washington here. Obviously, their team has been right on the cusp. A couple of years ago, obviously made it to college football playoffs, just missed it last year. They got a veteran returning at the quarterback position in Jake Browning. Took a little bit of a dip last year, but he still has 62 touchdowns and 14 interceptions over the last two seasons. Stayed for a senior season, which was obviously very smart. But they're going to be right on the cusp with an opportunity, with a chance to make it to the college football playoff again this season. Obviously, with Jake Browning coming back, they have a very good defense as well that's going to be returning. Chris Peterson, and a phenomenal coach as well there in Washington. So they're going to be a team that has an opportunity to possibly contend to get back to the college football playoff here. So it's going to be really interesting. Yes.
Did you did you want to talk about Wisconsin with that too, or are you kind of leaving out? So I know you're looking at the ESPN one. I don't know if he had Wisconsin at number 6 or was that Washington at number 6. So I don't want to get you in that role too. But go ahead, bro.
I had Wisconsin 7, so maybe we have different rankings.
But cool. Okay, cool. Sorry, go ahead. You're good.
Yeah,
coaches, cool. Okay, cool. I got you. Cool. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then obviously, you know, since we're bringing up Wisconsin here, they're hands down still the favorites in the Big Ten West Division. In the Big Ten, obviously, they got a lot of new coaches out there in the Big Ten West. Jeff Brown of Purdue, B.J. Fleck, Minnesota, Scott Frost in Nebraska. But the Big Ten West will still run through Madison, Wisconsin, where the Badgers are located. So, obviously, they're going to have a top-notch offensive line once again. Jeff Jonathan Taylor at the running back position. Alex Hornibrook, obviously still at the quarterback position. He has cut down on his turnovers at 15 INTs last year. But offensively, they should be really good. They might be slightly down defensively than what they have been here the last couple of years. But they are still the clear favorites to win the Big Ten West. Then to go down to Miami, the Hurricanes, at the number 8 position. Obviously, they're still the favorites in the Coastal Division. In the ACC, and Mark Richt's got a lot of great talent on the, especially at the skill positions, and also on defense as well. So they could be really, really talented. The only team that could probably challenge them in the Coastal Division would be Virginia Tech. So they'll be, you know, really interesting to see when those two teams meet this year. And let's see, let's go to the Big Ten again with Penn State at number 9. All I'm going to say is Trace McSorley is coming back for a senior year. So, obviously, you lose a big-time player in Saquon Barkley. But they're banking on McSorley, keeping them in the mix there in the Big Ten. Last but not least, Auburn at the number 10 position. Right now, they're preseason-wise, they picked number 2 in the SEC West. Obviously, you know, everyone's banking on Alabama to win that division again. Auburn will be led by. They'll have to replace some positions on their offensive line, obviously. They lost a few players there, but they still got a quarterback, Jared Stidham, and receiver, Ryan Davis. They're amongst the best in their positions. And they also got to replace Kerryon Johnson, a running back position as well. But other than that, with Stidham and Davis there, they're expected to be in the mix there in the SEC. Auburn at number 10.
Nice. JQ.
Yeah, man. The thing about it there is, well, Jake Browning, you talked about it. You know, he was Pettis, and I think last year, I think he had a little bit of progression because he lost John Ross. And while Ross didn't do nothing for my Bengals, he was really good for Browning there that one year in Washington when he actually made the college football playoffs. So I think that's part of the dip you saw from Browning. He didn't have that, you know, that deep threat and that other compliment on the other side. But they still got Myles Gaskin, and we can't leave him out. He's a very dynamic running back there. For Seattle, and they're going to play good defense. The only thing about them is they play Auburn in the opener. And, you know,
that's
going
to be real interesting. In Atlanta,
that's
too.
It's going to be interesting. It's best to lose early, but you kind of have to have those, you know, big resume kind of speaking victories if you want to make the college football playoff when you start talking about that 4 spot, as we've seen the past couple of years. So that's going to be real pivotal for both of them. You know, Washington starting at 6 and Auburn starting at 10. Playing each other in that first week, you know, so they both need that win given the gauntlet they're going to have to run, especially Auburn in that SEC, where they need to pile up quality wins. And that's a good chance for Auburn to get them one. You talked about it with Stidham. I like Kerry Ayers. I like him a lot. I think he might be a sleeper for Detroit. But in football, the one thing that you can replace, especially coming to high school or college, is the running back position. And you know Auburn is going to recruit their tail off. So I feel like you're going to be a little dip there, but it's not like losing your stud quarterback. I think that's a bigger dip when you do that. So I still think Auburn's going to give Alabama all kind of fits in that Iron Bowl. They play LSU as well, right? So I think that's also going to be another really good game. And the SEC West is just flat out loaded. The SEC is loaded, period. But when you got to talk about those three at the top of the SEC West, that's going to be very, very interesting.
Mississippi State's going to be really good this year, too. Nick Ferguson, but they do have to replace the head coach there, so that'll be interesting. But Mississippi State expects to be really good too. And
Ken Lowen
was gone. Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M too. So I think you got five legitimate teams there in the SEC West this year. So that could be really, really strong.
Wide open.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's gonna be a dogfight once you get through those cupcakes. Well, they do their cupcakes at the end. But that's gonna be a dogfight. You got to roll through the SEC West conference, and then you got to play that crossover game. And whoever's going to have to get Georgia. And, you know, Florida is not great on offense. They always pack a lunch pail on defense, and you can't really take them lightly. So the SEC, once again, is going to be ridiculous. Wisconsin, it's just they've got a really good offensive line. They're going to play Wisconsin football. You know, they're going to be stingy on defense for the most part. They're going to, you know, have those big hogs up front. They're going to run the ball. But can they be dynamic enough when they face another really good elite team to be able to score points? Honeybrook, I'm not super sold on yet. Like you say, he throws a lot of picks. And when people stop, you know, clog that box and put eight in the box against Jonathan Taylor, can he win games? It's going to really come down to him being able to win games. He's got to loosen that box up for Jonathan Taylor. You talk about Miami, and y'all all know that outside of Ohio State, the Hurricanes are my second favorite college football team. But that magic that they had with the turnover chain and what they did last year, I just don't know. I mean, it's going to be hard to get that going again. I think Mark Rick is a good coach. He's going to run a quality, you know, clean program. He's had his ups and downs in Georgia where you can't necessarily get him over the hump. But I don't know. Malik Rozier's got to play a lot better. And they lost the running back to the Bengals draft, and his name is just Walton. So they got to replace him as well. But, again, I think you can replace your running back for the most part. And that segues me into Penn State, unless his name is Saquon Barkley. And Saquon was special. And as much as I talk about, you know, I like him, Kerryon Johnson, he wasn't Saquon Barkley. And Trace can get hot. But he can also be real cold. He's very, you know, he's very streaky in that he can look really, really good and be like, man, Trace McSorley is that dude. And then you see him for another game, and he gets going slowly, and he just cannot pick it back up. So he's got to be more consistent. But Penn State also lost three of the top four receivers. I just don't know about Penn State. I think they might be one that drops down. I think just can beat up on some bad Big Ten teams that are there to be beat up on. But outside of that, that's my view, you know, on the 6-10. It's going to be – I'm really looking forward to that 6-10 matchup in the first week of the season with Auburn and Washington. That's going to have ramifications there at the end.
Yeah, that's going to tell us a lot about both of those teams this year. I feel like Auburn has a lot more, you know, players that have to step up in certain spots. So you wonder if that's going to play a role in that first week of the season. Because Washington, I think they have more answers at positions. But the game is in Atlanta, which is right down the road from Auburn. So that has to benefit Auburn tremendously. It's almost like a home game for them. Obviously, Auburn recruits the Atlanta area as well, so they're going to have a lot of players from that area too. So I think when you look at it from that perspective, they have a huge advantage. But as far as returning starters and players and spots where they were last year, Washington may have the advantage in that regard. So I think we're going to look at a really close football game in that matchup.
Yeah, you know what? Just real fast, Ray, I'll give it to kick it back to you. I give Washington a ton of credit for scheduling that game to play Auburn in Atlanta for everything that you just said, Rob. That, you know, you're going to come from the West Coast to Atlanta to play Auburn in their backyard. It's going to be a home game from that when it's not supposed to be. I give them a ton of credit for scheduling that game. That's all I have to say about that. I mean, a lot of teams won't do that.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if you guys remember this. When Pete Carroll was just turning the USC program around, I don't know if you guys remember this. They went on the road. Auburn was ranked number one in the country first week of the preseason. And USC went to Auburn. They actually played this game in Auburn. And USC just flat out dominated them, man. Beat them 20-0 in Auburn. That's when Auburn had Ronnie Brown. Was it Carnell Williams at the running back position?
Cadillac Williams.
Cadillac Williams.
Yep. Auburn had those two guys at the running back position, and USC, Pete Carroll. And that's when they first started turning the USC program around, and they went into Auburn and spanked them 20-0, and that's when you knew USC was back. And, you know, who knows if Washington. I'm not saying that Washington is going to be USC, but, you know, Chris Peterson was saying, hey, this is what we have to do if we want to be a legitimate program.
There it is. Good call. 100%. Yeah, like you said, definitely you got to give Chris Peterson some props. Like I said, it can go either way. It's like, hey, it's definitely a measuring stick for you to see where you stand, where you definitely stand up against the SEC, man. Because then, again, no matter what, we say we always shall love the SEC. And then I know my Pac-12, folks always want to, like, jump in and share their thoughts, too, as far as it, too. So now is the time to definitely see where we stand. Just as a little side note, too, Miami, JQ wants to send the turnover chain to him, too. So a little quick note about that. So make sure that you guys send that turnover chain to JQ. Make sure you can support that as well, man. So, yeah.
Go ahead, JQ. Oh, yeah, man. Listen, I love it, man. They had a dude named Jaquan on their team. I said, man, I was already a fan, but they got a dude ball with the turnover chain named Jaquan.
Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. All right, gentlemen, speaking of the Pac-12, let's talk about the Pac-12 here. And I don't know if you want to kick that off, JQ. Let's talk about kind of a quick Pac-12 preview. I know we talked about some squads here. I know we talked about Washington and everything like that. So give us your thoughts about that as well, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I'm being honest, we talked about it, but I just don't know. The Pac-12 is one of those programs, our division conferences, rather. That thing is going to be on the outside looking in. You talk about the SEC, they may mess around and get two in again. I think the Big Ten may get one in, depending on how that shakes out. I feel like the ACC is definitely getting at least Clemson in. If you say one from the Big Ten, one from the ACC, and two from the SEC, then there you have it. I don't know about the Big 12 and the Pac-12. But that being said, I really think it's going to be a fight between Washington and USC. I know USC is losing Donald and losing Jones as well. But, you know, them boys are recruiting out of California, recruiting out West Coast. They're getting all the top four and five-tier players. That's going to be the game to me. I just don't think Stanford, outside of Love, has enough to really, you know, challenge it. And Oregon is still flying. I think they're going to rebound some, but not enough to win the Pac-12. To me, it's between Washington and USC.
Nice. Rob Ford.
Yeah, Washington and definitely USC, I think, is the two teams that you've seen the Pac-12 championship game. USC out of the South, Washington out of the North. Definitely, I agree with that. Stanford's probably going to be better than you expect, though. I expect them to be really good as well. But I think the difference in that game between Washington and Stanford, the game is going to be in Husky Stadium. So you got to give the edge to Washington, and that could be the deciding factor on the Pac-12 North. Obviously, you got Bryce Love, KJ Castillo. So, I mean, look out. You know, Stanford should be pretty good as well, but I give the slight edge to Washington from an overall depth perspective. And Justin Herbert at Oregon, they're going to be a sleeper in the Pac-12. Oregon's a little bit down the last couple of years. Expect them to have a, you know, not championship contending kind of team, but expect them to be back in that 9-10 win range this year as well. So expect Oregon to be back in the mix. The Pac-12 South, I think USC can easily run away with that. I think three of the top four teams in the conferences are in the North this year when you have Washington, Stanford, and Oregon. So USC should have an easy slate as far as being number one in the Pac-12. Obviously, they have to replace Sam Darnold, but they have two legitimate quarterbacks in, that can replace him in Matt Fink and JT Daniels. They haven't decided on the starter yet. The schedule is brutal for USC, but, you know, Pac-12 is the South. It's still, you know, there's the win. Chip Kelly's got to find a quarterback there, UCLA as well. He's got, like, five people competing for the quarterback position. But he's got Wilton Spate transfer from Michigan in the mix, so who knows if he can win that job there at UCLA. Big games this year in the Pac-12, Stanford at Washington, November 3rd, we just talked about. USC at Stanford, September 8th. USC at Utah, October 12th. Utah might be the only team in the Pac-12 child that might have an outside shot at continuing with USC. You got Khalil Tate, too, at Arizona, so look out for him.
Khalil Tate.
At quarterback position. Obviously, he had 1,500 yards passing and about 1,500 yards rushing with 26 touchdowns. Could even be in the Heisman mix as well. So that's kind of your sneak peek at the Pac-12. But I still like Washington to win the conference.
Yeah, I agree. But I agree and I disagree. I agree with that. But I'm sorry, I missed it on my turn. But I forgot about Khalil Tate. They looking like a young Michael Vick out there in Arizona. Nice. They may not win it, but they may have a really strong say in who does win it, because when you have to play Arizona, and, I mean, the Arizona defense, and every try deep, it's that 3-3-5. I just don't think it's going to be enough to actually put them in contention. But you're going to have to come bring your lunch pail to stop Khalil Tate. That dude is for real in Arizona. So they may not win it, but, you know, when those top teams have to play Arizona, somebody's going to slip up, and that may end up costing them the title in the Pac-12.
Yeah. And under USC, Utah and Arizona are the next two teams in the Pac-12. USC has to play both of those teams on the road. So, I mean, they have to go at Utah, at Arizona, and at Stanford. So USC has a lot of their big games on the road.
Yep.
Nice. All right, gentlemen. I love it. I love it. I love it. So we're going to switch gears here, and let's talk about a little NBA. And this is a great, great question as far as, like, the top five scorers of all time in the NBA. Now, initially, I just wrote down some top five guys that I thought initially that are just great scorers. I mean, not necessarily based upon the top five official list. I just wrote down five names. So I'm going to let you guys kind of, you know, add yours as well, too. But mine, and just kind of about the top of the list, was, and this is clearly not just whatever, this is, I actually put down Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That was my first guy. Second was Michael Jordan. Third was the Big O, Oscar Robinson. I had Wilt Chamberlain. And then I almost had, like, your fifth, sixth, like, you know, LeBron and Kobe. That's kind of a weird one, too, you know. That was just kind of like, I was kind of, like, torn between, you know, as far as I know, like, LeBron's still playing, obviously, but just, like, scores, if you will, too. I mean, if you will, too. So that was kind of my top five. I know if you look at the official list, it's a little different. I know they had some Karl Malone on there, and I don't know if that was more or less an option of having a John Stockton. But tell us your thoughts as far as that and who you guys have, JQ, on the top five, if you will.
Oh, man, that was tough because I had the same thoughts that you had of it. You know, it's real easy to go look at the stats and just name the top five guys and just go with that. But that, to me, is just too easy. I like Kareem, and that sky hook is just it's just pure depth that you can't do anything about. I'm going to definitely put him in that. I'm going to definitely put Michael in that group as well. And of course, you know, I'm putting Kobe in there. And then it's tough when you have these guys that you talk about. I feel like you have to put LeBron in there. I really wanted to go with like a Bernard King or Adrian Dantley because they could just put it in the bucket.
Listen,
I grew up in that time. And in this era, I just got to put Allen Iverson in my top five, bro. I mean,
wow,
that
that's
little
nice.
Dude can just flat out score the rock. And again, like I said, I know he's not all the way up there, but for me, you know, he has some injuries and he has some self-inflicted wounds that, you know, kept him from being higher up to me. But if I'm going to go with five, that's probably my five. So Kareem, Kobe, Michael, LeBron, and AI.
Nice.
And I think for me, it was hard for me to come up with five, so I'm going to cheat a little bit. So I may have about seven here on this list. I think when you got a guy that's put up 100 points in the game, I think for me, I had to, even though he's ranked number five all time, it was hard for me to put anybody above Wilt Chamberlain when it came to a dominant score, you know, putting up 100 points in the game multiple times. And he's fifth all time on the NBA scoring list. But you have to start with Wilt did a lot of things that I don't know if any individual player will ever do again in NBA history. Then Kareem. I mean, like I said, when you talk about pure score in the low post, the sky hook was unstoppable. And it still to this day it surprises me that we don't have any young players developing that shot. Why is no one not coaching him? When you 100%. Have somebody with that kind of height and can build that kind of extension with a sky hook, it is an unguardable shot. And, and Kareem was, that's in his prime, it was unstoppable in the low post. So I would have to put him at the number two position when you're talking about a scorer. Number three, and Kareem was number one all time, by the way. And number three, I have to go with Michael Jordan, of course. I was a big-time scorer, you know, hit big-time shots when he needed them. Obviously, six-time NBA champion. We can go on and on and on about the accomplishments of Michael Jordan, but definitely there as a big-time scorer as well. Number four, LeBron James, probably, even though he's seventh all-time right now, he probably will end up number one when it's all said and done by the time his career is over. And so he probably will end up the number one NBA scorer by the time he retires. And then when you look the next bank, you have to have Kobe Bryant, Karl Malone, and then a sleeper name for you. When you talk about pure score, maybe not all-around player, but pure score, Dominique Wilkins. Dominique Wilkins, man, you know, he might shoot 40 times a game, but when you look up, he's got 40, 45 in the box score. When you talk about score, you have to include, I would say he's the sleeper guy that you have to put in there as well. But Karl Malone, second all-time in NBA history in scoring. Kobe Bryant, third all-time. I think Dominique is somewhere around 12th.
Close.
But, 13th all-time. But when you really just remember, you know, how he played the game, he was definitely a pure scorer as well.
Yeah, hey, listen, you can quibble about the top five all you want, because there's so many good scores in NBA history. So, I mean, I like it. I can't argue with that.
It's pretty crazy, too, because actually, if you look at the list, you know, surprisingly, right in between, sandwiched between Wilt Chamberlain and LeBron James is Dirk Nowitzki, who's pretty high up there.
Yep.
He's at number six. And then you got Shaquille and Moses Malone. Man, Moses averaging double-doubles. Elgin Hayes.
Yeah.
Hakeem Olajuwon was up there. Tim Duncan,
Moses,
Paul Pierce. There's some
on
great
purpose
names.
So he can get his own rebounds.
That guy,
Paul Pierce.
You talk about another sleeper name that's on here. Obviously John Havlicek was Alex English. Man, you talk about a great scorer too, man. He's up there. I remember that great player. And then
Olajuwon too. I mean, he was a guy, you know, had some of the 100%. Best low post moves you can ever
that
remember
dream
in the game.
Ah.
Dream and that follow away shot from the post, oh man, he was unguardable. And when he was in his prime, especially when the Rockets were winning championships, he would easily put up 40 points on you without blinking. So I mean, he's another guy that's right there in the mix. Yeah, we talk about Moses Malone. But Moses Malone, I remember this guy as a pure rebounder. I mean, like I said, he would throw the ball up off the glass, miss on purpose, get his own board, and then lay it in.
Yeah,
I mean, he would definitely pad his rebounding stats for sure.
Great call.
Yeah, like I said, again, let's just think about how great some of these players are and a lot of the scoring. Like I said, and just to let you know too, JQ, Allen Iverson is like 25, so that's a great call too. Just you think about a good score, but you know, just as far as looking at that you know, probably one of the smallest players on that, but just all heart and just a great player too, man. So again, as JQ mentioned, great topic. We could probably spend a lot talking about that as well too. Believe it or not, our next guy's on here. Who is at number 22 is Vince Carter. This kind of feels like a dig at the Hawks, if you will, whenever I look at the topic, as far as, you know, talking about why did Vince Carter join the Hawks and why he's still playing. I will come out and say that, again, you're not asking to be like an amazing scorer anymore, but I think it's a brilliant move by the Hawks. They got a young squad. You've got somebody that has seen a lot. He's played a lot in the NBA, and just somebody like him in the locker room will be a great asset to this squad. So, again, you're not asking to sit there and score 20 points. Clearly, he's not that same player, but you've got somebody that really can come in and be a stabling force in the locker room, kind of set the tone, tell him how to be professional. I mean, I think it's a brilliant move. So, more or less, it's not just about the basketball side, but more or less like how to be a professional. And then he will add some in the court. I mean, again, like I said, he's not the same player, but if you remember that dunk over Frederick Weiss, you're like, man, this guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
incredible.
I mean, he can definitely explain that. Hey, I've been on both sides. I've been like that guy that's been like the dude, like the superstar, and then now I'm not superstar anymore. How to like navigate that, and how to navigate through losing seasons, and how to win. I mean, like I said again, I don't know if it's a knock, Rob, or you're trying to, like, talk junk, but, again, it, for whatever purpose, I think it's a brilliant move. Hell, I'll get a damn Vince Carter jersey to say, man, it's awesome to you know, have that. And I just think it's a, I think it's a great move, man. So, again, you can talk ish. I was going to drop the S-bomb, but I think it's a brilliant move, too. So I'll let you have that, Rob.
Hey, man, I give your team some love on the show topics, man. Then y'all think I'm trying to throw them under the bus.
Didn't seem like that, honestly.
If I had the Saints and the Pelicans and the LSU on the show top, oh, man, you got your own teams on the show, man. I show y'all teams some love now. I'm trying to play under the bus.
Straight up, JQ.
Come on, man.
Did that seem like a knock, JQ? Seriously, did it seem like a knock?
I'm going to let him go. I'm going to let him go first. I think you're viewing it from the wrong angle. I think he's viewing it from, why would Vince Carter do that when he could go be a veteran on a team that's closer to winning a title as opposed to going to Atlanta? I think that's the point of the topic.
Okay.
I had a chance to hear Vince Carter on the interview and his comments, why not try to sign with a team that would give him a better opportunity to win a championship as opposed to sign with the Atlanta Hawks. And Vince Carter's comments was, this gives me an opportunity to go to a team where I can still play a lot of minutes as well as help a lot of young guys out at the same time. You know, he said I could go and, help a veteran team that's got a chance to win the championship. He said, I may not play as much, but he said now I get to go to a team where I could actually mentor some players, be a veteran influence on them, as well as play along with them. So he says he still enjoys playing the game, and this gives him an opportunity to go to a team where he can still play a lot of minutes, but also have an influence on a lot of young players, how to go about doing things the right way from the NBA perspective, how to take care of your body, those kind of things, how to handle the travel and the day in and day out kind of thing. So he actually looked at it as an opportunity to be a mentor to a young team, as well as play along with them and help them to show them the NBA way of doing things. So, when you listen to his comments, very admirable. Of course, he's a Tar Heel, of course. That's what you expect. But seriously, that's his thought process with as far as, continuing to play in the NBA. He said he still wants to compete, and he still would like to play a lot of minutes.
I apologize.
And the one thing,
Rob, I apologize.
Yeah.
Go ahead, take care.
And the one thing you left out of his interview, and I read those comments as well, that you left out, Robbie, he said, I grew up in an era where we didn't ring chase, that I'm going to do this. So everything you just said, he also said, I'm not trying to ring chase. That's not what I do. And all I could say was, I applaud that dude. He wants the best of both worlds. He wants to help the young guys. He also still wants to play substantial minutes and say, I still have this ability at what he's 40, 41 now, I think he is. I don't necessarily knock him for that. And that's why I want, on surface when you see it, it's the questions that I took the topic of, why would you do that? Why would you not go to one of those top eight teams? And if you round up the top eight teams in both the East and the West and say, I can go to that team for their, veterans minimum or mid level and go play and potentially do all those things mentoring wise that I was doing for the youngest guys on those teams, but also be a veteran and be able to hit some quality shots and play, maybe play some substantial minutes here and there, but not necessarily on a regular basis. But he said, hey, that's not the era I grew up in. We don't ring chase. I said, fair enough. if that's where you are, I want to go play. I want to help these young guys, but I'm not out here to try to get a cheap ring. And I applaud him for it. He's taking the road less traveled.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Fair enough. So I apologize. I was ready. So, again, I'm gonna take a step
came
back.
Came out
on
the defense,
like,
man,
yeah,
before you even heard anything I said.
I certainly, you got a knack for, get me riled up. So, I figured some way around the way it's gonna come back around. So it's all good. But so I'm gonna be a man, and I'm gonna come out and say I apologize for that. But again, I do think it's a great move, like you said, for everything you talked about in the interview as well, too. So, I read that.
Yeah,
and
I have
to make sure that we
on
the same page.
He is
an habitual line stepper, just like Draymond Green. So he knows how to do that, too. So, again, we'll keep that going.
Oh, man.
It's all good. We got about 10 minutes and 30. And by the way, did you get the Fantasy Football Magazine, Rob? Did you like that?
Yeah, I owe Andre. I'll just tell him that I owe him.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the Fantasy Football Magazine, though. That was awesome.
I put Well, yes, I put Falcon fan. I put Falcon fan on his envelope too, by the way. So that's what I did. I put Falcon fan.
That's why I owe him, JQ. I owe him.
So whatever. And
you said on fire, we got it.
Shipped to New Orleans. Falcon fan. Oh man, it was probably like, you know, that's awesome. So,
oh my God!
Come
on.
I had to make it. I had to make it all big though. I put it in parentheses. It was pretty funny, but you know. At least I didn't, like, you know, try to roach you or anything like that, man. It's all good. The first shot has been fired. Hey, we got about 9 minutes here, and it's all in good fun because he talks a lot of junk on Facebook too, fam. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about LeBron and his off-court activities. Will it diminish his focus on the court? I'm just going to really quickly say no, it will not. He's definitely there. And then we already talked about what he did last week about how he's doing some fantastic stuff with his – school program too, man. So I'm a fan, obviously. If buying a jersey will help the cause, whatever, I'm in. But again, I don't think it's going to definitely have any effect on what he's doing right now. That's just my thoughts. So what say you about that, JQ?
No, I don't. And you mentioned it earlier, you or Rob, that he's probably going to end up number one or maybe number two all-time scorer. And when you do that, I mean, unless you're just smacking chicks, you know, and doing cocaine in front of the camera on TMZ, like, when you're going to do that, it's not going to diminish. I'm just saying, it's not going to diminish what you did on the court if you're going to end up being that dude. Now, he may not be in that dude in terms of rings, but when you talk about in terms of impact on the game, coming straight out of high school and being top two, probably, if we're projecting correctly outside of injury, in terms of all-time NBA scoring, and then you got to look at where he's going to end up on the all-time assist list as well, and maybe the rebound list as well, depending if he gets, you know, once he gets older, if he gets more closer to the basket. With that big body and starts pulling down more rebounds, you know, I applaud a guy that can do both, that can do it on the court and still be an asset to his community off the court as well. And I think we're seeing that he's doing that, and he's not afraid to ruffle feathers with people. You know, he's got a lot of haters out there in the world, but he's not let that slow him down from what he's doing off the court as well. And make no mistake, some of that is people hating on what he does off the court in a good way, because they just don't want to see a black dude go out there and have a positive impact. So don't ever let people believe that it's just a, I don't like the way he goes to a super team, the way he carries himself on the court. Some of that is also a residual of what he does off the court, and they just don't like it. You can never lose sight of that. So for me, 100%. I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's a dude on the court, and he's a dude off the court, and I appreciate him for putting his name and his legacy on the line to make things better off the court, even if it gives him some vitriol. Same way with Randy Moss in the tie at the Hall of Fame.
100%.
All the people killed by the police. So, you know, lots of credit to LeBron for doing that for sure.
Yep, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he has a tremendous amount of focus where he can separate the two. I think when he's off the court and taking care of business and, you know, being an asset to his community, I think he has the capability of focusing on whatever the task is at the time. So I don't think I don't think the Lakers will be a championship contender at all, but I think his performance will still be there on the basketball court. I don't think there's no doubt about that. At some point, I think, you know, age, father time will catch up with him. But based on this past season, it looked like he still has at least another 2 to 3 years or maybe more where you're going to see him play at a high level on a basketball court. So I definitely think the focus will be there. He will be able to separate the two. I don't think there will be any distractions. And I think he set himself up for further success after basketball, whether it be business, whether things he's doing in his community. He set up the right business team around him as well to help him with those kind of things. So when it's time to play basketball, his focus is purely on basketball. So I don't think it'll be a problem. I mean, I think, you know, I don't see the Lakers being a championship team, but realistically, they have a chance to be somewhere between number 4 and number 8 in the Western Conference next year just because of him being on the team.
Great. Agreed.
And it's interesting, too, just to real piggybacking on that, Rob, it's crazy because both you guys mentioned it, too, as far as the legacy, right? And again, we talk about, you know, Michael Jordan being probably the greatest as far as not only basketball, but just like as far as his influence, man. We all remember Be Like Mike and the Mars Blackman commercials. I remember, and it was, man, I remember all that, and the Jordan 23 Jumpman and songs. Yeah, man, it takes you back. I mean, you talk about like everything culturally that Michael Jordan has affected, you know, the society. Now, this may sound controversial, But again, Michael's been pretty quiet as far as political issues and little things like that, right? And for whatever reason, you know, whatever it is, what it is. Now you got LeBron. I mean, he has not had the impact just quite yet as far as, like, culturally 100% as far as that influence, but he has the capability of adding more because he's added the school. I don't think Michael Jordan has had a school thing. Not if he has, I apologize. But what LeBron is doing, it's kind of like transcending a lot of things as far as, you know, shoes, culture, yada, yada, film. I mean, I know he's directed some things, he's acted. I mean, so again, he's kind of touching a little bit more things than Michael at this time as far as like leaving that legacy. So, again, not a knock on Michael by any means, but just kind of a different look at that. And I think he has the ability to, once he's all said and done, even impact it even globally greater than what Michael Jordan did, possibly. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, Michael Jordan was too busy gambling and playing cards off the court. But no.
That's a true statement. Shannon Sharp said it, and I laughed. I've been watching a lot more of him and Skip because Shannon's quickly becoming one of my favorites. He said Michael Jordan wants to swim,
point.
But he don't want to get wet. I said,
good point.
Well, what did he say?
Yeah.
He said Michael
point.
Jordan wants to swim, but he don't want to get wet. And I said,
wow.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, damn, yeah. Shannon. And, but if you think about exactly what you just said, Dre, I mean, it's accurate. I think Michael came in a point where he was able to fill a vacuum where Magic and Larry were on their way out, and he was able to fill that in. And it was also due to what he was doing on the court, no doubt about it. He was phenomenal, and you can never take that away from him. But his impact is more, you know, shoes and on the court and that kind of prowess. And then I want to be sort of associated with that greatness, that basketball greatness. I think LeBron is much a broader breadth of he's going to have just not that, but a social impact where you don't have that from Michael. So he may never reach what Michael has done, you know, in terms of basketball and that basketball kind of business-related things with the shoes and, you know, and the posters and whatnot. But LeBron is going to have the movies and the activism that Michael's never going to be able to touch.
Well, I mean, Michael did have Space Jam, which is a whole other thing, too. But, again, just, you know, the whole transcending thing, too, man. So it's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't want to forget that, too. But, yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Into Michael's defense, though, obviously, too. I mean, everything you all have both said is definitely correct. Obviously, we didn't. Michael didn't grow up in the social media craze, too. I think he probably could have done a better job as well, but he didn't have the social media impact or didn't have the social media access available to him like the way LeBron does now. But that being said, I think there's still some things that he definitely could have done to be more of an impact in his community, definitely there
activist.
In Chicago with the inner city things that's going on there and probably even to some degree in his home state, North Carolina as well. But, I mean, LeBron is, you know, he's definitely taken on, the business perspective. I expect him to own the NBA team just like Jordan does at some point as well. But he's also doing it in the communities as well.
Yep. Hey, really quick, Rob, let's get it up.
I think that's part of the reason
53.
Why he wants to tighten up with Magic Johnson here too. So it's probably, from a business perspective, he was the right person to connect with.
Yep. Go ahead and wrap up the show. You got a minute 30 for this, Rob, for OT. Go ahead, bro.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're wrapping up our live portion of the show. We still got a lot more to talk about on our OT portion. Click on the same link on tomorrow. We still got a lot of NFL coverage to get to, so you definitely don't want to miss this portion of our show. Next week, we'll be back on the air live again on Sunday night. It's going to be August 19th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. We'll still have more college football previews coming to you. We previewed the Big 12. We previewed the Pac 12 to you. I'm sorry, not the Big 12. Yeah, it is the Big 12. They just only have 10 teams in it. We previewed the Big 12. We previewed the Pac 12. So we got some more conferences coming your way here in the next few weeks. The SEC, the Big 10 plus 4, and then also the ACC. We'll be getting those conferences here. And also next week, we'll be previewing the last NFL division, which will be the AFC South, and our OT portion will be previewing the AFC West here. So you don't want to miss next week's show, and definitely click on the same link tomorrow for our OT portion to get the rest of our NFL coverage. Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in. It's been fun. Give us your feedback. You like, disagree, agree. We'd like to hear from you. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. All that good stuff, and thank everybody for the birthday shout out. I appreciate you.
Yeah, JQ was good, man. We love it, man. Man, good times, man. Shout out Mario. Thank you for listening to us all the way out in Japan. That's my cousin, by the way. He's a Cleveland Browns fan.
Wow.
So we'll keep him. Yeah, keep him up, man. So a lot of love, man. All right, just got that in. And gentlemen, let's talk about this. And this is an interesting topic. I'm gonna let you start this off, JQ, as far as Tom Brady's salary versus some average NBA players.
Yeah, I mean it's ridiculous. Well, you know what? I take that back. It's not necessarily ridiculous, and this is why it's hard. It's not an apples to apples comparison. You're talking about having a 53-man active roster in NFL, and you're talking about having a 14, sometimes 15-man active roster in the NBA. And when you have less dues to pay, you're going to be able to pay the average dude more money, especially as a top three, top four, you know, professional pro, sport in America. So it's ridiculous when you look at a guy that is going to average, you know, 6 points and maybe seven rebounds, making the same amount of money as Tom Brady, who's a five-time Super Bowl champ. And it's tough. And it's very tough if you're an NFL player looking at that, but you got to also look at it economically of we have more guys we have to pay. We have to have 53 dudes, and you can make an argument today you really should have a bigger NFL roster just due to all the injuries that happen. You know, you got to make 100%. A lot of really strategic kind of personnel decisions and roster management as an NFL team because you got that number of players of 53 where it's like, well, it's 53, but if you look at it, you're talking about you got special teams for 11, you got the offense for 11, you got the defense for 11 starting. That's 33, and now you got to be able to back those guys up and be able to have some depth in terms of injury from week to week. So I get it in terms of why that happens that way. It sucks given that the NFL is, you know, far and away the most popular sport in America, and not in the world, but definitely in America. But we got a lot of buying power here in America, so you see that kind of salary disparage, but and dudes are way more liable to get hurt in the NFL and not be able to play, and you can't stink $22 million and that dude, and he ain't going to play for three games this year because of
crazy.
The nature of the beast. It is.
Yep.
So it sucks, but just the economics of it in terms of how many players you have to pay on a team in the NFL versus the NBA is what makes it that way.
Mm-hmm. Your call, Rob.
Yeah, but that's even – I'll get to the NBA point here in just a second. But let's even look at them compared to other NFL quarterbacks. Number one this year, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL in 2018 will be, guess who? Jimmy Garoppolo, who was Tom Brady's backup in New England.
Right.
Jimmy Garoppolo will make $42.6 million this year in 2018. He was freaking Tom Brady's backup, and he's the number one paid QB in the league. Number two, Alex Smith. $40 million.
No.
Number three.
No.
No, I'm serious. These are the cash payments that these quarterbacks are getting this year. Matt Ryan is number three. $29.2 million this year. Drew Brees, number four, $27 million. Now, you know, he may be slightly underpaid, but when you look at those top two, so, I mean, is this a sign that Tom Brady is the, you know, he's not even complaining about just making $15 million this year. Does that make him the ultimate team player in sports? Tom Brady is number 21. He's the 21st highest paid quarterback in the league this year. So, Russell Wilson, 19. Phillip Rivers, 20. He's just slightly above Cam Newton. And guess who else? Josh Allen, guy hadn't even taken a snap in the NFL yet. And so it's unbelievable, you know, where he is. And then, you know, he's right in the same ballpark. Tom Brady's going to make $15 million this year. Sam Bradford, 15.63. Tyrod Taylor, $16 million. He's going to make $1 million more than Tom Brady this year. It's crazy.
But
in the NBA, Damari Carroll, you know that name, Andre. He used to play with the Hawks. Now plays with the Brooklyn Nets. He's going to make $15.4 million. How many people in the United States know who Damari Carroll is? He's going to make $15.4 million. Tom Brady, $15 million. Timofey Mozgov. How many people in the world know who he is? He may be better known in Eastern Europe than he is in America. $16 million. Tom Brady, $15 million. Unbelievable. So, like I said, this is a combination of him being the most ultimate team player in sports. You might can make a case for that.
You know, I will say, though, on a weird note, that I'm not going to cry too much for Tom Brady because I know he's getting some money for endorsements and little things like that, too. So I'm pretty sure that there's other things that definitely supplement his salary. But I do see your point in the fact that
– and his wife is rich, too.
Yeah, he's married to a supermodel. But, again, 100% agreement that the fact that he's making with the average – you know, NBA players, and the same thing that he's like freaking with Tyron Taylor. That's pretty crazy, man. So 100%, man. I definitely get your point, man. So that's crazy. For some reason, looks like JQ dropped off. We're going to try to hopefully see if he can call back in, too. That's a little strange. Are you still on the call, Rob, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. He hit the wrong button. Okay, see if he can call in. Hopefully he can call back in. Hopefully you can call back in. All right, all good. Yeah. Yeah, he hit the wrong button. He just sent a text here. I was like, what happened? All right. It's all good. Let's see if we can join back in. I'm going to see if he can call back in. And anyway, let's see here. Let's talk about the Giants draft strategy. I'll let you kind of kick off with that, and I'll kind of add a little as well, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, my perspective in looking at the New York Giants here was, you know, going back to the debate on the Saquon Barkley versus drafting a quarterback here. Saquon Barkley is going to be a tremendous prospect for the New York Giants, and I think if it was a hell of a pick. But will passing up a quarterback hurt this franchise here in another couple of years here with Eli Manning? So I think that's going to be a real debate. When you look at that game the other night against Cleveland Brown, Davis Webb, the backup to Eli Manning, he looked horrific. He was horrible. And need Eli Manning to really play well another year or two at the quarterback position, because Davis Webb is not your answer at the quarterback position. So that's why we're bringing up this topic here. Obviously, if Eli can give them what he did 3-4 years ago, and you have Saquon Barkley, then they're going to look smart. But if he doesn't, then this team is going to be in desperate need for quarterback still, because Davis Webb, like I said, he was horrific in that game against the Cleveland Browns. But you got Saquon Barkley in the first round, great pick.
He looked good.
I love the second round pick of Will Hernandez, another great pick by the Giants. Even Lorenzo Carter in round 3, I think was another good pick from Georgia. So, I mean, and then even the second pick in the third round, B.J. Hill, defensive tackle from North Carolina State. I think the first 4 picks for the New York Giants was phenomenal. Then in round 4, to get Kyle Lolella, the quarterback from Richmond. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to be the answer for this franchise either. So, I mean, when you look from a player's perspective, their top 4 picks I think were outstanding in this draft. A phenomenal job by New York Giants organization. But the question that they will have to answer, did they make a mistake passing up on a quarterback, franchise quarterback in this year's draft? So I still think we have to wait for another couple of years before that question will be answered. But other than that, from the players that they picked, a phenomenal job.
And you know what, Rob, I think about that. I think the fact when they were looking at the draft, they probably weren't sold 100% with the quarterbacks. That's what I got from that.
Mm-hmm.
From maybe they were thinking this was our guy. Once Baker Mayfield was off the field, you know, or off the board, excuse me, maybe they're all right, you know, this is the guy we were targeting, and that's been off the, you know, well, that was the number one guy. So that's kind of how I take from that perspective, too. But then on that second piece, if you look at it, last year whenever they lost Odell Beckham, that definitely was, you know, a huge loss that offense. So maybe they feel that having him back and adding Saquon is going to add something back to give Eli Manning another year, if you will, too. So like we talked about, going into next year, they are 100% going quarterback. And or, Rob, they're going to keep an eye on as far as who's getting cut from this year. If you look at, surprisingly, you look at the Jets who the Falcons played, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, he's not guaranteed a job, bro. I mean, unfortunately, he's been doing good things. They promised him something. They're like, hey, his opportunity, but then they go around and draft Sam Darnold. So that's going to be an interesting situation as well, right? So he may be on the streets. Or you just got to see what happens as far as quarterbacks as well, too. So,
you know, looking at the early going here, I mean, it's obviously still early, and they're both of their rookie careers, but look like Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, both of them might be the real deal. And but it's still early, and it's, you know, for us to say that, but it looked like the Browns and the Jets, you know, might have hit the jackpot on a future at the quarterback position.
Good call. All right, bro. Let's keep this going. Just us two here. Let's talk about this, and let's talk about, again, Robert's favorite squad, the Cowgirls here. Is this a make-or-break season for Jason Garrett, if you will?
I think it is. You know, Jerry Jones is not a patient owner. And obviously a couple of years ago they had a really good year, went 13-3, got upset in the playoffs by the Packers. This would be Dak Prescott's third year at the starting quarterback position. This is your third year with Zeke Elliott at the running back position. You still have to think that the offensive line is still going to be pretty strong. Defensively, they're probably going to be better. I think the question mark for the Cowboys is, do they have enough on a perimeter at the tight end and the wide receiver position to scare people offensively? But I think this is definitely a make-or-break season for Jason Garrett. And, you know, when you talk about an owner like Jerry Jones, he's not going to be that patient. I'm going to go out on a limb and say if they don't make the playoffs this year, he's going to get rid of Jason Garrett. Even though, like I said, I think they do have some limitations at the skill positions when it comes to wide receiver and tight end. But
definitely,
when you look at their roster, defensively, they could be better. Offensive line, quarterback, well, the jury's still out on Dak Prescott. But offensive line and Zeke Elliott, you know, they should be able to run the football, but teams are going to try to stack them in the box. They're going to ask Dak Prescott to beat them, and they're going to see if they have any wide receivers or tight ends that can beat them, which I think could be very hard for the Cowboys this year.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Like you said, unfortunately, just due to what I think Jerry Jones' ego, like you mentioned, that he's not patient, I definitely think that he is definitely on the hot seat. And it does kind of suck because I don't think this is the one year where I don't think they have all the pieces, as you mentioned. I think they're definitely severely challenged offensively. You talked about it. Yeah, you could have, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, you could have Dak, but again, you just don't have that dude, that number one receiver. So that's going to be a huge challenge for them. If you're the Cowboys, maybe if you wonder, was, you know, Jason Witten's retirement premature, Rob? Because again, you probably thought you had him for another year to help transition to that next phase, but now he's gone, so you don't have a safety blanket for Dak Prescott. So again, you've lost another weapon. And it just doesn't look that great. I mean, I don't care how great defensively you are, you got to score some points, you know. So, again, I don't think they're opportunistic enough to get a lot of takeaways right now unless I'm missing something. So I don't see it. And Jason, bro, like you said, if they don't make the playoffs, man, I think they're going to be looking for a new coach. It's going to set the Cowboys back possibly again, man. So, again, that's kind of a bleak outlook for our Cowboys fans, but we're trying to be objective 100%. Just looking at it right now, it doesn't look as promising as they may feel, too. So, I don't know. It is what it is. Woo!
Absolutely, yeah. And obviously, I don't think the Cowboys were expecting Jason Witten to announce his retirement when they did. They probably could have been. They probably could have prepared a little better for it. So it is you know, it finally caught them off guard a little bit. But you know, at the same time, they had to know he was getting up in age. But probably definitely caught him at a bad situation this year.
Yeah, I think he probably thought that he had one more year, one or two, honestly, and he's probably like, hey, I'm out, man. And that could be a sign, Rob, that he was like, you know what, this team is not going anywhere. I think I'm just going to bow out gracefully. So maybe that may be a little – you know what I'm saying? He probably looked at what they had and was like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and retire. So
absolutely.
You kind of heard it here first. That's kind of what I kind of feel would happen, honestly. He's not going to come out and say that, but just kind of looking at the whole scope of it, this team is not going anywhere, to say the least. All right, bro. This is interesting. Let's talk about I don't know if you had a chance to watch, you know, Baker Mayfield, and I was watching that game, and I was just clearly impressed with him. And I was also equally impressed with Tyrod Taylor. So, again, you mentioned what he's making. So, if you're the Cleveland Browns, I guess the question is who should you start? We talked about, and I know JQ, you know, JQ talks about that Tyrod doesn't make any mistakes. You know, it's kind of tough, man. I think that in a real-world example, you're kind of in a best-case scenario for the Browns. You can kind of ease Baker into that role. So I think, I mean, I'd love to see the Mayfield era start, like, immediately, but I do think that maybe, like, after week four or something like that, maybe start the transition, just let Tyrod kind of go into the season, hopefully take some pressure off of him, and then, all right, here are the keys, go for it, and let's kind of get it started. So that's kind of me. Even though I'm kind of 50-50, I'd love to see Baker start, but I just think that just give him some time to kind of ease into that role, man. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, Hugh Jackson obviously is, what is he, 1-31 the last 2 years in as head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He's won one game as a head coach. And I think, you know, I think he's playing it the right way here, trying to get the veteran quarterback off to see if he can just start winning some games early. Because like I say, he's only won one game in 2 years as a head coach. You know, some of that you got to put on him. I think most of it is not his fault based on what was handed to him when he took over the job. But, you know, when you look at the roster of this Cleveland Browns team, right now they got a lot of talent on that team. I mean, he's looking at it as, you know, I can start off with a veteran quarterback. Give me an opportunity to win here. And let's see if we can start slowly turning this thing around. And worst comes to worst, you start Tyrod Taylor at least first four games of the season, and then you start slowly transitioning and giving the ball to Baker Mayfield. But I think, like I said, if you're Hugh Jackson here, I think he's playing it the right way based on what has happened in the first 2 years as head coach of Cleveland. 1-31, and I think you need that veteran presence to try to help you turn it around.
I agree. So you kind of agree with me, too, as well, as far as getting that started, man. So
yep.
I love it. And also, you know, we got to be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that they got a lot of talent. And I give him credit. And this is going to sound weird, but whenever you listen to your boy Landry's speech, or Hard Knocks, that was pretty awesome, man. So now you got players that really care about winning. You know, we don't want to just be here and just collect a paycheck, but – you know, Jarvis Landry. Landry gets in there, has that incredible speech, and I think now you want to start having players that actually care and want to do something too. So that's a huge thing in the locker room, because I think that was missing before too. So as you mentioned, now you pair him with a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes. You've got a ton of talent on that squad. So now it's going to be up to you, Hugh Jackson, to try to coach him up, as they say, right? So if you don't coach him up, and then you're going to be looking at another new coach. But I think it's kind of sad, Rob, because Cleveland's going to once again have another quarterback. What is it going to be, like 22 different starting quarterbacks that they've had? Kind of an unfortunate stat, man. They were going through all the quarterbacks, man. So now you add Tyrod again. I mean, you just had Robert Griffin III, I want to say, at some point. So it's crazy how you keep having different quarterbacks, man. So, and even going into next year, it's going to be freaking Baker Mayfield possibly, you know? So it's crazy, right?
Yeah. You got to keep trying until you find it. That's the position. You have to keep trying it until you find the guy that's going to get you to the promised land.
All right. So we talked about this as well. Speaking of the Browns, and again, this is, I love how these topics are kind of like segue right next to each other. Now let's talk about Dez Bryant. I mean, there was some talk about Dez Bryant joining the Browns. He's not getting – I'm kind of curious because it sounds like he's not in shape from the tweet that he sent out. Like, I'm just kind of getting myself right. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth too, but it just sounds weird because for a guy that's like – unless he's really looking at the best situation, Rob, you know, if he wants to get back in, I'd be like, yo, I'm ready to go. Here's me working out. I am, like, pissed. You know, I want to take it to the freaking Cowboys, whatever, prove that they were wrong about cutting me. Or maybe he wants to miss training. I don't know. I mean, but there's something that doesn't smell right with Dez Bryant. So I guess will he get signed is the question.
Well, you know, the way he's tweeting right now, he's probably tweeting himself right out of a job. And he probably needs to start calming down with all the tweeting and focus on getting himself back together. Now, you know, he's saying he's waiting until the time is right. He needs to get healthy and things of that nature. I don't know if we know exactly what he needs to get right for. But he needs to calm down with the tweeting. And he needs to stop watching the Dallas Cowboys play. I mean, that ship has sailed. He's not going back to Dallas. Stop commenting about them on their preseason games. Try to get yourself ready for your next gig. I mean, I kind of got a feeling he is going to wind up with Cleveland, so I think he will wind up with another team. But he needs to calm down with the tweeting and stop worrying about what others are doing and get themselves together.
I think, Rob, you could tell he was really hurt by being cut by the Cowboys, honestly. Mm-hmm. But you can tell that wasn't the right fit for whatever reason. Just chemistry. You know, we talked about all the handlers and for all that mess that was happening, it just wasn't a good fit. Again, as you mentioned, you got to let that go, bro. Use it as fuel, use it as motivation to get you to the next job, you know? If you really want to be professional too, man, because you don't want to prove them that they were right, man. So that's what I would do. I mean, again, if I was making that much money, so, and I had that much talent as Dez Bryant, but it's just crazy to say the least. All right. We got 12:06 here. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show here. We got to talk about some AFC West predictions here. Our AFC West. I got to be honest, bro. This is more or less kind of a tougher call because you've got some pretty interesting storylines for all these teams. You know, between the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Los Angeles Chargers, Rob, and the Oakland Raiders with Chucky coming back too, man. So. There's some interesting storylines. If you look at kind of history, you know, you've got some new head coaches. I mean, Denver's got that defense, but they've kind of dropped. You know, they get Case Keenum, the quarterback. If you're the Chiefs, you jettison Alex Smith and you get Patrick Mahomes. You know, you got the sure and steady Phillip Rivers, but again, just hasn't had to get over the hump. And then finally, you have the promise of Chucky coming back, John Gruden just coming again with the young promising darling pick last year, the Oakland Raiders, but they had an injury to Derek Carr, man. So where do you go, man, if you were for this division?
Well, I for me, when you look at the way the season ended last year, the Los Angeles Chargers are probably as good as any team in the AFC at the end of the year, and they just somehow just missed the playoffs. They were a team that made the playoffs in the AFC. In my opinion, they were not as good as the Los Angeles Chargers, particularly when you talk about a team like the Buffalo Bills who made the playoffs. I mean, and the Chargers just straight out annihilated them. But just the way that, you know, so there were teams that made the playoffs in the AFC that were not as good as the Chargers. So I think this year is set up for the Chargers to win. When you look at it, they have above average quarterback in Phillip Rivers. They got an above average running game, above average offensive line. Probably one of the few teams in the league that have two bookend pass rushers in Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. His secondary is really good. I think they have a chance to be a really good football team. I think they have a chance to go somewhere around 11-5 this year. And they could be right there in the mix with New England, Jacksonville, and Pittsburgh for being the best teams in the AFC this coming season. I think they can be that good. Obviously, they don't have a real big threat speedster. Keenan Allen is a really good receiver, but he's not a guy that can really stretch a defense open. But, I mean, that might be the only thing they're missing offensively. So I think, to me, they're the clear-cut favorite in the division. This year. Yeah, so I really like the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, Kansas City, a team that who won the division last year, I still have them at the number two position. And the main reason I'm dropping them down, obviously, they've lost some of their players at the defensive back. What's the guy named that went to the Rams now? Marcus Peters. You lose him in your defensive backfield, but you also lose Alex Smith. And Alex Smith, of course, not a Pro Bowl quarterback, but he, I think, did all the things that kept your team in contention. You know, he didn't turn the football over. He did all of those little things very well. I'm a little worried about them turning the reins over to Patrick Mahomes already. He has been really shaky in training camp. He's shaking his preseason game the other night. His accuracy is not there. He's got an extremely strong arm. His accuracy is not there yet. And so I have to bring the Chiefs down some because of that move. I would like the Chiefs a little bit more if they still had Alex Smith. Offensively, the weapons are there, but I just don't think Mahomes is the guy to run that ship just yet. I think he still needs a lot more work before he's ready to run the NFL franchise. Like I said, his accuracy is not there. So I have to drop the Chiefs. The Chiefs will be somewhere around 8-8, 9-7 this year, or maybe even worse, like I said, with Mahomes at the quarterback position. Andy Reid obviously is a good coach, but I still think they will struggle due to the quarterback position this year. Now, 3-4, it's really hard for me to make a prediction. I really, you know, I mostly had Oakland at the 3 position most of the offseason, but I moved Denver slightly ahead of them now. I would still be worried about Case Keenum at the quarterback position because prior to being with Minnesota last year, he was a 9-15 starting quarterback in the NFL with a 59% completion percentage. I still have a feeling that that's the Case Keenum you're going to get, not the Case Keenum you got last year. And last year, you have to keep in mind that he had 2 stud receivers out there and a really good tight end in Minnesota. He probably won't have that in Denver, but I think Denver's going to be really good defensively. And there'll be another team that's going to have 2 bookend pass rushers in Von Miller and a rookie they got from North Carolina State this year. Was it Bradley? I'm drawing a blank here. Help me out on
that. Hold on. I'll get that to you. Keep talking. I'll get to the name
of the defensive end from North Carolina State. Bradley Quinn. I think I'm getting the name mixed up.
Yes. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. Keep going. I'll keep going.
Yeah,
I got
but,
you. Yeah, I'll get it.
So I think from a pass rushing perspective, they're going to have bookend pass rushers and a really good defense, and that's the reason why I put them slightly ahead of Oakland. I think Oakland
Bradley Chubb. Are you talking about Bradley Chubb? Is what you're thinking of?
Bradley Chubb. Yeah. I said Bradley Quinn.
Okay.
Yeah. Bradley Chubb. Yeah, I knew I had the name mixed up. But they'll be good from a pass rushing perspective. Oakland, I'm a little worried about. I mean, I really like Derek Carr. John Gruden hadn't coached in 10 years, so you have to wonder what that's going to be like. Does Marshawn Lynch still have enough in the tank, even though he had a nice run the other night in the preseason game? I mean, their organization in flux right now. They're transitioning and moving to Las Vegas. I just think there's going to be so many things that's going to be distracting this team from really having a good year. And it really struggled with me because I really thought they had a chance to be at number 2, but I have them at number 4 right now just because the organization is still somewhat in disarray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to say, too, it's interesting because there's a lot of good reports as far as Courtland Sutton doing good in the camp. Man, he's just been an amazing receiver, man. So opposite Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, so he's been getting some good press, but then again, like you talk about it, you know, who's the quarterback? You know, Case Keenum, see the answer? I don't know. Chad Kelly? And then you got Paxton Lynch, who has been, I'm sure, a disappointment. So that's something I think about. They got about 3 or 4 running backs who are trying to, you know, audition. They don't have any experience from that. Devontae Booker is, I think, the most experienced. So you kind of have some missing pieces that you have to figure out. And questions, I guess, is the right thing I want to say, too. So that's good as far as that. Like you said, Oakland, that's crazy that you said that it's been 10 years for your boy, right, for John Gruden. And does what he say still work? And I get it, man. You know, is it going to be relevant? That old school, you know, pound the rock may not be the best thing. I'm thinking of what happened back in the day whenever Tampa. But, you know, you got to think he definitely has watched enough football. Robbie can relate to the players because he's got a lot of things that he does as far as, you know, whenever he was doing some stuff with being an analyst. So, I mean, maybe it will transition because he can relate to players and be a player's coach, excuse me. But you do wonder, has the 10 years kind of caught up with him on the coaching side for sure, man. But, yeah, I mean, I like it. I will tell you, whenever my team, the Falcons, go to Las Vegas, we will be there hanging out, visiting. So I think it's an interesting move. But I think it's just a fun trip. But, you know, but I get it. There's a lot of things happening, and that may definitely have a challenge for the Raiders. And Marshawn, unless he finds the Fountain of Youth, man, it could be tough, man. to say the least, too, because I don't think they have, you know, they still got Amari Cooper, bro. They still got that dynamic line. Or not dynamic, but, you know, pretty decent offensive line, Donald Penn, little things like that, too. So we'll see, man. They got to figure out what's happening with Khalil Mack, too. That's another thing, too, man. You got to get that solved as well.
Exactly.
That's a huge distraction.
Yep.
So that's a big thing. All right. Again, man, it's been fantastic. Let's go ahead and I know it's going to be a little shorter since we lost our third host with JQ because we can stretch this out, I'm sure, for another 15, 20 minutes. But, again, let's go ahead and wrap the show up. Robin, I appreciate you hanging with me for the last two, and we get some more. I get some more talking points because I kind of let you and JQ talk more. I just kind of like take the point, man. So appreciate my feedback here today, man. It's been fun.
No problem, bro. Another great show. We thank you all for tuning in again on tonight. We'll be back at you live on next Sunday night, August 19th. For those of you all competing with us in fantasy football, we have I can't remember exactly which league, but I will send you updates. We have our first draft on this coming Saturday morning, which will be August 18th. I think that's 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Central Time, and 8 a.m. for those in the Mountain Time Zone. First draft will be this coming Saturday morning. You don't want to miss that on next Saturday. Once again, good night, people. We thank you all for tuning in. Join us again next Sunday night. We're going to get some more college football predictions. The AFC South will be our NFL predictions that we'll go over on next week, so you don't want to miss that. And then we'll start slowly getting to our overall predictions for the NFL. Good night, people. We'll see you on next Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Pacific. Good night, people.
And it's crazy, too. This is the perfect time for JQ to say, go Chargers, because we talked about the Chargers, too, man. So fun times. I wish I did my part for JQ, man. But, again, Rob, appreciate the talk. JQ, you're missed, bro, as always, man. But, again, we'll catch you next week. Hope you had some fun on his birthday anniversary and little things like that. It's actually going to be Marcy's birthday on Saturday, too, man. So it just keeps on happening, man. So, again, you kind of threw me off. I know. This is the month. You threw me off, man, because I was ready to go on Saturday, man, to do the draft. But it's all good. We'll keep it going for sure, man, but I appreciate that. But, again, we will see you guys, as Rob said, next Sunday. Definitely tell your friends, tweet the show. We'll go from there. Thanks, Rob. Have a good evening, bro. Talk to you through after the week, bro, okay?
Good night, people.
Good night, people.